with your size, dude, I don't know, dude. Why you're huge regardless? Why, you don't need anything. No, extra, I mean, like a huger. You're a monster.
Not huge. I mean, like more leaner. I guess I have to
leaner, quit, leaner.
Leaner. I have to quit eating steaks and eat more grass. But if you want to be a wolf, you can eat grass. So I don't know. It's like, you know, it's a
I get you. Us Mexicans, I always say that we get the, you ever seen Nacho Libre? You seen the movie Nacho Libre? Nacho Libre, right? Yeah. When we're over 50, we start to get that Nacho Libre gut. And I even started to get it myself. And I had the same thing. I had to start eating more greens, less red meat, less junk. I'll have my sweet tea every once in a while, but I can't even drink a ton of that anymore because I was looking like Nacho Libre, man. Look like Danny Trejo. The Danny Trejo gut, man. That's how us Mexicans looks when we start to turn. So I get that, man. I get it. Getting staying lean.
Battle Line Podcast, episode 200. What's going on, Chris?
Nothing, man. That little, you know what? I always forget that. That little window pops in.
You want to go? Like, you want to go?
It's like, hit son the of a something. I can't see you now because that window says the meeting is being recorded. Like, yeah, obviously. Okay, I got it. So
yeah, because you have that setup where it's in front of you. But hold on. And by the way, for people who aren't on YouTube, I really should tell them that head over to our YouTube.
I want to be able to see your beautiful face, dude. Come on.
Well, man. I was saying to the audience, yeah, head over to our YouTube if you haven't, youtube.com/@battleline podcast. But what's going on?
Yeah, that thing's just normal. School's gonna start. For those of us with kids. I'm sure some school probably have already started, but ours are starting a week. My son's going to college, so had to go drop him off there. It's always difficult on the moms. I know it's difficult on the fathers, of course, but I guess I had no issue leaving and going to college. I had to drive far away to go to college, so to me it was somewhat normal, even though it's a little weird not having one of your kids around since he's the first one to go. So other than that, just a getting acclimated to being back home for, I got another slow month, which is good. Summer's good to take a break. And then I get real busy again come October, November, which is normal. And, doing merchandise and the deal coming up here, our people are already looking at Black Friday, which is still what, two months away.
Yeah.
But people are, merchandise, you got to start getting ready for it. And we're already starting to get ready for it, like we always do, which is great. I love it. I it's so awesome to be this many years down the road and books still sell. My books still sell very well. I should say our books, because 13 Hours was written by all of us, myself, Jack Oz, Tig, Boone. And then we had Mitchell Zukov. Tremendous. Again, I've always thought
I keep a list of people we have to get on. I've always said Mitchell Zukov.
We do need to get Mitchell on. I'll reach. We got to reach out to Mitchell. He's the top notch dude. And I love him to death. And our politics, of course I lean probably more to the right. Mitchell leans way to the left, but we never gave two shit. He's just a cool dude. And he's just so smart. And he wrote some other books that I read, like Lost in Shangri-La. I read when I was in Iraq. So I kind of knew who he was. And when I was told, hey, Mitchell Zukov is going to write your book, to me, it was like, wow, that was like cooler than Pablo Schreiber play. And to me, it was cooler than that. It's like Michael Bay's doing your movie. So I got Mitchell Zukov, right? He helped write a book. That I think that did help sell the book, not just because of the story, which obviously helped immensely, 13 Hours, but Mitchell's involvement. He's an all-star. If you get to writers and authors, Mr. Zukov's an all-star. He's up there, in my opinion, with Brad Thor and Jack Carr, even though he writes different genres. He's still up there with them. And he was a New York best-selling writer before he even took our book out. Just getting prepped to get that out there, because the books and the Ranger Way and even the Patriot's Creed coming out during COVID, now it's starting to pick back up because I wasn't able to promote it as much. They still sell very well, which is, to me, that's a blessing, I think. And it's awesome that still people are finding out about what happened in Benghazi, and then also, military stories in general, because I'm sure they all do. I'm sure American Sniper still sells extremely well. Lone Survivor still sells extremely well. Black Hawk Down, that's up here, Dale Sizemore's book, still sells extremely well, which is still, that's a testament to this country honoring and still loving war stories, which Can you love a war story? Because there's a lot of I think it's more of honoring, but still love to read about perseverance and overcoming adversity and just the testament of the human spirit. So we're already getting ready, put a huge order in to our bookstore, our little local bookstore that we still use in Omaha. Still support local bookstores, guys. Support those little guys. And it's like, holy crap. Yep. We got to already get ready for it. So that order went in today and we'll be doing, deals and sales like we always do all the way up through, about 3 weeks out of Christmas so I can get them out to you. So yeah, but we're back on the job, man. It's getting back on the work cycle.
Nice. Well, speaking of supporting small business and that, for you guys who have been with us for 200 episodes, whether you're a subscriber from way back from the first episode with Andre Orlovsky, we're really excited to have back on, or you're a new listener, the people who really keep this show going are the people who support our sponsors, our listeners, of course, but especially you guys who have been with us and have supported our sponsors like Ned. And I know Ned has helped many of you tremendously with over 700 five-star our customer reviews. Ned's Mellow Magnesium is an instant hit. Nourish your entire body with Ned's proprietary super blend with 3 forms of chelated magnesium, GABA, L-theanine, and over 70 trace minerals. It propels memory, mood, brain function, stress response, nerve and muscle health, and of course, sleep. About 75% of Americans are deficient in sleep. So this is something you're going to want to take. And also magnesium is just so good for you. So many people that we see, even friends of yours, don't call them out, are so dependent on the stuff, not just the prescription stuff, but the over-the-counter stuff that gets habit forming is really bad for you. So I do try to tell people, take an alternative to that, whether it's Ned's CBD or Ned's Mellow Magnesium. It's not habit forming and it's good for you. And you're going to go right out. So many people I ask, have you tried CBD? Have you tried Mellow Magnesium? And they haven't. And I really think you're doing yourself a disservice. So Ned's Mellow Magnesium is now available on Amazon, but you'll get the best deal through us as a first-time customer when you go to helloned.com/battleline or add the code battleline at checkout, simply helloned.com/battleline, helloned.com/battleline.
From Kansas City to New York City, from planet Earth to extraterrestrial life in space, a podcast with no equal, engaged in unconventional warfare through your speakers and headphones. This is a show about embracing the suck, conquering your demons, and finding God in the face of adversity. Chris Tonto Peranto.
Switch is on. Motherfucker, I'm gonna shoot you in the face.
Ian Scotto.
Ian and I have been dating for a long time.
You are now tuned into the Battleline Podcast.
The Switch is on, Battleline Podcast, episode 200. And man, I think back on all these episodes that we've had, all the great guests, really a blessing to be doing this up to episode 200. And, at times they do say not every episode is going to be a home run, but I think, man, by and large, the recent episodes we've done, I've been really happy with, especially I really loved those last two with Brad Thorne, with Brandon Webb. And there's something special about getting to do the in-studio stuff, I think. It's not feasible to do all the time, but when you can, you can't really replicate that in studio feel. And I really like those two episodes in particular, listening back.
No, they were, I think we've gotten a little bit better. At least I have in trying to be a better interviewer instead of always being the interviewee.
I think I have too, man. I think I've gotten better as well. Even doing this years and years,
I think we get better every time, but you're better at it when we started, dude. Yeah. I mean, you knew what it took to be an interviewer. And I'd never have, I was always the interviewee. So Well, I remember the one with Dutch Moyer with me, and we were talking about Sergeant Major Moyer there with Delta Dutch, and he's going into something, and we're almost there, and I cut him off. And I remember Ian called me at the end, after we were done with the episode. He's like, dude, he was just going to tell you something about Benghazi, and you cut him off, and we never got back to it. I'm like, shit, you're right.
We do have to get him back on at some point, because and look, it's also just, I guess, my personality type. I don't like to bullshit people, and I did call Chris, and I was like, truthfully, the audience has heard you talk about Benghazi all the time. We've never heard Chris Moyer talk about Benghazi. So to me, I was like, I want to hear this as someone who,
And he has a lot of insight in it, because
we'll have him back on.
He was the sergeant major of the unit team that was going to be coming to us, and he knew the guys that threw Ronan Bub off the. So he wasn't going to talk bad. That's not how Dutch is. But he was going to give some insight that actually I probably had never heard. And I just totally spaced it. I didn't even realize he was doing it, because I was so focused on me wanting to ask something instead of letting it play out. And after that with Ian, I made it a point after that phone call, because I remember laughing about it. I was like, yeah, you're right. I fucked up. I'm a jackass. But I was like, man, I got to stop doing that. So every time now, for episode on out, is that I usually will wait. If I want to ask a question, I'll make myself count to 30 before I ask that question, to make sure that whoever will have on it is getting their information out, because it's a lot of the stuff I want to hear. And it was a hard barrier to cross for me. I'll be honest, it was, but I think I'm getting better at it. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you guys can say if I'm not or if I am, but I do think the episodes have always got better, because I think we've done our best to get better. If you're always trying to get better, you're not going to. And I think we are always finding something, whether it's Ian mentioning something to me or me mentioning something to Ian. But I think after every podcast, both you and I go back and self-reflect and go, okay, what went wrong? What went right? Or just what felt good, and we try to replicate that.
And I would actually say the past few, man, there's truthfully nothing I would change. I really like the past few.
Well, I loved lead singer from Pillar, Rob.
I did too. And truthfully, I wasn't sure how that one would go, because I wasn't really familiar, and that happens sometimes. And also there was a scheduling issue. And I remember before you were like, if he doesn't want to come on, let's just not do it. And it turned out to be, I think, one of the best interviews, because you know what? I think sometimes, especially with his background, being a pastor, being in a Christian rock band, you kind of maybe have the stereotype in your head. All right, this guy's going to be very preachy. And it was the complete opposite.
I think he's
a super humble guy. And at the same time, I was like, man, whether you're a Christian or not, just his views on fatherhood, his views on the music industry, on life in general, I was like, anyone could kind of take something from this, because he wasn't doing it in a preachy way, but you were like, this is a guy who's got his head on straight on a lot of different things.
And he was also a veteran. I didn't know that. That's cool. He was an Army veteran. I agree. I think he comes across same as I feel that people, hey, you're going to have to find God on your own path. And the more you throw it in my face, honestly, the more I'm going to pull away. And he wrote that song about, hey, we're not Christian enough. And
yeah, I get Crossfire.
That
I remember.
Yeah, said. Crossfire. I get that sometimes too, where I feel like, man, what? Why are you judging me? Am I not Christian enough for you? What is there too much? And there should be. It's just, how do you interpret religion? And if you want to be a Christian, you've got to find that Christianity, that path on your own, just like I did. When it's forced down my throat, anything is forced down my throat, whether it be the rainbow flag or the crucifix flag or anything's thrown in and said, you have to do this, because it's always in my face. I'm going to back away from it. And when you let somebody find it on their own, I think that's when you make the strongest beliefs and the strongest ideologies, which is a good thing, is when you just let that person go through trial and error and figure it out for themselves. And I sounded like that's how Rob was. And it reminded me of myself growing up as well, because I didn't find God. I knew there was God, but I really didn't find God till in my 40s, and that was my path that I had to find. So yeah, I love that.
Like, Rob was a little bit, it sounds like for Rob, I was just gonna say, it was a little bit later too, because I think when I think of like the front man of a Christian rock band, you think, okay, this guy's probably been on the straight and narrow path his whole life, especially because you just look at him, he's not like a guy who's like tatted up face or any crazy shit like that. And he was like, a roommate, he was like doing cocaine, I was getting into drugs, and he had some of that crazy background and transformation in life. So yeah, that was a great one for for me. Hey guys, write in the comments what your favorite episode has been in 200 episodes. I do want to get in some news here. The first of which, man, we recent guest that we had on, and I don't know this for a fact. I think it likely may have been the last interview he ever did, because it was only a few months ago. And how many of these does he really do? World War II paratrooper Vincent Speranza, dead at 98. We did episode 179 with him. If you want to listen back, I called it World War II Talks Killing Nazis. I thought it was a provocative title, and hey, he did talk about
well,
it.
Well, he did, so, and he did. Well, yeah. And that's the truth. The truth hurts. Don't be offended by the fucking truth, guys. That's just how it is.
Yeah, and I especially have to mention, any time that we talk about this interview, our listener Chris Wolf, because he emailed us at battlelinepodcast@gmail.com, and he was like, hey, this is a friend of mine, you got to get him on. And yeah, anyone who's a World War II veteran or Holocaust survivor, you definitely get to the front of the line on this show, because it's crazy, because listening to him at 97 or 98, however old he was during the interview, I think I even spoke to you on the phone and I was like, man, the guy's at the end of his life. Obviously, it's just the way life works, but he's completely animated. He's more, in no way was I like, this is a guy who's not with it anymore. He was just as coherent as someone who was 50 or 60 to me during that interview.
And he had that piss and vinegar that you think an infantry guy is going to have, that infantry guys still have to this day. I'm sure they do. I know I did. It's just that jackassery, that jokiness that you use to handle stress. And it really, we laughter is definitely the best medicine. And he still had those stories that were funny, but they were comical. I have funny and comical, but also, there was that passion in him as well, where, hey, this is funny and comical, but people were dying around me. I'm running to go find beer and there's blown out buildings and people. I mean, and to still have that ability to come across that way is a gift. And we're losing. Those are guys who are heroes. Those guys, they are the greatest generation. They are. We have sorry excuses for heroes nowadays. And I did. I remember when I posted that, I seriously meant that. A hero is somebody that colors their hair and kicks a little ball in the net. No, they're fucking not. That's a hero right there. Somebody who was willing to go and toe the line and freeze their nuts off and stay there and continue to toe the line. And then come back home and still love his country and still love the United States of America, to love everything about it, and still to have that vigor in life that this is the greatest country in the world, and not feel like he was a victim. I don't think he ever mentioned anything about him being a victim of anything, even though he probably could have. So heroes like that are literally and figuratively a dying breed. And so to hear their stories and have immortalized forever, like on our podcast, is, to me, that's an honor. I know it is to you too, brother. And I said, we need to pick our heroes a little bit better than what.
But I think those are most people's heroes. I do.
I hope. I think it's just that you get accustomed to social media and seeing a lot of posts out there, and I always have to pull myself and pull back and be like, wait, so that's a small percentage, really. To
social media is not real life.
Yeah. Now you're exactly spot on. You're exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you went up to, whether it's here in New York or there in Kansas, I think if you went up to like 10 people and ask them who their heroes are, I do think it would more likely be military than someone who's making news today.
I'm still just trying to get to that 10%, I guess. That's all. That's like, you go, shut up. I don't want to hear your shenanigans, especially when there's men like this that I idolize. And those are the kind of people that I wanted to try to be like when I grew up, when I went to the military. Those are the stories I read. It's like, man, how do you do that? And it was a blessing that I actually got to experience it, aside from the cold. I got the other extreme
hot.
And that's, I'm glad I got the other extreme, because my feet and fingers never hurt in the heat. They just hurt when it's cold. But those are the ones that pushed me, and those are the guys that would think, I thought, even that night, the Vietnam vets, I told on a story here when I was going through that night, and I was getting to be like, hey, nobody's coming, and we're after our third firefight, and I'm fucking tired. It was, I got Snickers bars right here. I got a ton of ammo for my M4 still right here. I got Boone right here next to me. I got night vision. It's warm out. I got tons of water. I got Gatorade here. I need to quit bitching, because I thought about the Vietnam guys that would go out in the jungle for weeks on end and not have any of that. So kudos to all those, and kudos to Private First Class. He got out as a Private First Class. Can you believe that? Speranza, God bless you, man. Rest in peace, my brother. You are a hero, and I hope you looking down on taking pity on us and helping us through our hard times, just like you did back when you were in, man. So that was, I love that. I love that. Yeah. I'm glad we get to talk about him and we got him on the show.
Yeah, he reminded me of my grandpa a little bit, because my grandpa was like an old Italian guy, and also like that booming authoritative voice, because you can see those clips on social media of him, because he did a lot of interviews. Yeah. Vincent, and you know, the one that you see the most on social media is him saying like, young people, freedom isn't free. And it actually does remind me of my grandpa, just the voice. But I think the reason he was, because so many of those guys have no interest in doing interviews, understandably. I think the reason he was so open to doing it is I think he just wanted to get across, like, I saw the concentration camps. I defeated the Nazis. And I think he wanted to make sure that this generation and the younger generations don't forget what they accomplished. And I could tell he is not a guy who was looking back in his life and wondering if what the sacrifice he made was worth it. He knew it was worth it.
Yeah, he did, just by the passion. He talked about it. The beer story sold it for me.
Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, and that was near the end. I was like trying to wrap up, and I'm glad that we got to all that.
That was because he just, one more thing. Well, listen to the episode, yeah. Guys, at the end. It's like, man, visit, we got, because I think one of us, we had to go.
Yeah. I think someone got in the comments was like, why did you cut him off? You know, they were like mad at me, because I do think at one point I was a little stern, where I was like, all right, one, like, we're wrapping up here, sir, you know, and people were asking, why'd you cut him off at that point? But you know, you and I have other commitments we have to get to, but I'm glad he got to that stuff, because some of the best stuff in the interview was at the very end.
Well, and for all those in the comments, dude, we were on there for 2 hours, guys, 2 hours with him. That's a long ass time. I love it. And we didn't cut him off. We that's the time frame we were in block in. So yeah. Eat a bag of shit, whoever's saying that comments out there. But he also do, and I do the same thing in interviews. There are times we're all going to interviews, like, okay, I got one more thing. And the I get it. The interviewer has to, like, hey, we got to go.
So, and could I just throw out there, the one more thing for him is a little different than the one more thing for you, because I have a feeling in the back of his mind, it was like, this might be it. This might be the last time I get to tell this story. So I want to tell it in its entirety.
And I don't think we could. Yeah, we may have tried, hey, we got to go. But we kept going until he was ready to go. So we'll find out who that comment is. I got you. Especially if you come through a battle line course, whoever said that comment, because I think we were pretty, and we enjoyed it, but I thought we let him go pretty long. It was just, we had to keep preempting him to, hey, we're coming up on 2 hours. I got to go pick up my son from frickin' school. I got to go. So, but it was awesome. I love the interview. I love that. That's how we can talk about it now and forever put that in the comments. I'm giving you shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a bad thing. Cause to me, it says they could have listened for 5 hours and I get that. Awesome. So, and then the other, I don't want to say unfortunate news, because these guys lived a full life and God bless. So the other piece of news, and Jack Murphy wrote this one for Connecting Vets, and you know, Jack's always on top of like who these legends are in the community. And I don't know if you knew as much about him. If you did, you know, maybe you could add to it. But
he's just a special operations legend.
Ops legend. Yeah. General James Lindsay passes away at age 90. James Lindsay served in the Army for 38 years, rising from the rank of private and seeing action in the Vietnam War to general, where he led Special Operations Command, 82nd Airborne. There's a whole lot here, too, where, you know, quote here, Lieutenant Colonel Lindsay distinguished himself by exceptionally valorous actions from May 31st to June 4th, 1968, during an operation which located and destroyed three main force Viet Cong and North Vietnamese battalions in the Plain of Reeds. There's more you could see once again at Connecting Vets over at Odyssey by Jack Murphy. But as far as I know, a legend in the community.
Yeah, he is. His name is, I never met the man, of course, but I know the name.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think he got a distinguished service medal for his actions in Vietnam. Valor was tremendous. I don't remember what the award he got, but it was.
Yeah, that's what it says. Lindsay went on to be awarded the Army's second highest award, the Distinguished Service Cross, for valorous actions taken in combat with the enemy. Yeah.
I think it's a Navy Cross. I think they got their things, Distinguished Service Medal and the Navy Cross. So I think whoever's writing that may need to double check their medal thing. But anyway, it's the same.
It's Jack who wrote it.
Distinguished Service Cross, Jack? Are you sure that's right? I thought it was Distinguished Service Medal. Maybe they changed it.
I got to tell you, as someone who worked with Jack for years, man, I don't know anyone who knows like special ops more than them. So it's possible, but.
Maybe the editor, I don't know. Maybe it's the Distinguished Service Cross now. Was he maybe? No, he was Army. Okay. There, regardless, I don't give a shit. We're getting off subject. He, read about him, guys. You know, Lindsay, he did an incredible job saving a lot of his troops by taking out, not just one, several positions. And it was just terrible. Again, another guy that I would read about, like, man, I want to be able to do that one. That's how I want to be one day. And there's another guy that I emulated before I went in that made me want to join them, made me want to serve to that utmost capability. So yeah, God bless him. Rest in peace. I wish we could have got him on this show. I think it would have been another wonderful interview. And, but you know, he's in a better place. So rest in peace there, sir. And God bless you. And know that you're still, again, another hero of mine that I hope others get to know about. We'll read about if they listen to the show here. When they listen to the podcast, they'll go and do a little bit more of their due diligence and find out more about him. Because he was tremendous, tremendous soldier and operator.
Yeah. So, we're going to get over to Andrei Arlovsky. Last piece of news, I guess I'll comment on real quickly because we got to get over to Andrei. I thought it was just interesting. There was an Intercept article that I sent to you on Clint Lawrence, war criminals bid to become a lawyer, faces obstacle, his own troops. I know you took issue with a lot of the article and I understand. I mean, look, the Intercept is a left wing.
Yeah.
It's a left wing news source. At the same point, the thing that I just thought was interesting was just the, moral question of after what he did, which we've spoke about. And I don't believe he should have been pardoned, but he was pardoned. Could you be able to then become a lawyer? And his troops are trying to stand in the way of that. I guess if I could give you my take on it real quick. I think after you're pardoned, whether I think you should have been pardoned or not, America really is very much the land of just second chances. Yeah. And I don't know if there's some type of legal issue that you shouldn't be able to become a lawyer after what he went through, or there may be law schools who won't want to accept a guy like Clint Lawrence. And I think that's their prerogative if they don't want to have him. But I think if he's able to go through what it takes to become a lawyer, then I guess so be it. At the same point, I understand his troops saying that this is just not an ethical person. And I understand them standing up for what they believe as well. I hope that doesn't sound like me not taking a position, but I do understand that once you're pardoned, you kind of get to live your life after that. And there are consequences. I mean, there are probably certain jobs he won't be able to do. I don't know if that's one of them. So,
I'm with you. The article itself was garbage. It was a left-wing hack job, but if he just would have kept it on Clint, but of course we got to go Donald Trump derangement syndrome. So if you can get past that, guys, I'm in agreement with Ian though. He was pardoned. I forget which episode we talked about it in depth.
Yeah. Way back,
we did discuss, and we both, I know I was Adam. It's like, no, he's a murderer. He should not be pardoned. No, it's wrong at all. And I stand with his troops. So what they're saying, they can do that, but they can continue to push back or continue to shed light on him being unethical and having no integrity. But I'm with you. He was pardoned. He can do whatever the hell he wants, just like Chelsea Manning can do whatever the hell he wants. If even though he gave up classified information that got people killed. And so it's one of those things that's why this is a great country. Because you do get a second chance. I think the past will always catch up to you guys. It always does. Karma's a mother. You know, the payback's a bitch and the stripper name is karma. I mean, it will. And it always is. Seems like karma will stay with him because his troops that did have a lot of integrity, from what I saw, I didn't know any of them. I just did my due diligence trying to research it all. And there was a great special. There was. It was tremendous. I think it was HBO or Stars that did a about him and what actually Clint did on the battlefield, coming in as a new lieutenant, replacing their old lieutenant. But that being said, yeah, I'm with Ian. He got his pardon. He did spend, and he spent some time in prison.
Yeah, of course.
So this is his opportunity to, let's see what happens. But I said, karma always catches up to you. So, but if he gets it, all right, well, he does. There comes a point that I got to talk to his troops though too. It's like, don't let this be the main focus of your life either. There are times where you got to let it go. Just like, I don't, Hillary, who gives a shit about Hillary Clinton? Obama, I don't care. They left us to die. You can't live your life hating people like that. You're just going to have a miserable life along with them. And I would say a word to his troops, just, hey, let it go, man. Just, you did it. You did what you're supposed to. You're out there. You're forever going to be out there because you're on a damn HBO or Star special. Your words are out there in print. People can read what you're saying, but there's got a time where you've got to let that anger go and just move on with his life and let that dude just go off the abyss. He's not good enough to be part of your life anymore. Let that POS just go off and do what they're going to do. You do what you need to do to become a better person and not just be angry about what happened and feel like he's gotten away with murder, literally.
Yeah,
it will come back. I promise you, whether on this earth or up in heaven, when they stand before judgment, they will stand before atonement. And you got to believe in that, and you have to, and that's going to help you move on with your life. So I think it's just, if any of his people, that his soldiers hear that, they'll let that anger go, and love to have one of them come on.
I would.
But anyway, yeah, we got to get to Andre, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I'm excited to have Andre on. So before we do, guys, Fort Scott Munitions has been with us from the very beginning, 200 episodes. We love what they do. They are a manufacturer of multi-federal patented solid copper and brass CNC spun ammunition, of course, that is designed to tumble upon impact in soft tissue, leaving devastating wound channels for faster bleed out and quicker incapacitation. This ammunition was originally developed to innovate and improve on the standard of military grade ammunition design. It was found that not only did the TUI ammunition outperform competitors in the self-defense industry, but it quickly became apparent that it would be a top contender for hunters alike. With the ammunition being CNC spun, the tolerances are some of the tightest on the market, ensuring that you receive the same results with each pull of the trigger. Go to fsm.com and use the promo code BATTLELINE for 15% off your order. That's fsm.com, promo code BATTLELINE. If you pan to me, Harold, this is it right here. The tins that they have are awesome. Love all their gear on the website. So even if you're not getting ammo and you want to get some cool t-shirts, hats, swag, any of that stuff, you'll get on the site. So once again, guys, fsm.com, promo code BATTLELINE. Fort Scott Munitions is a proud supporter of Chris Peranto, Battleline Tactical, and the Battleline Podcast. And now let's get to our second appearance on the show by the one and only Andre the Pitbull Arlovsky. Back on the podcast, he was on episode 1, now episode 200. Andre Arlovsky, actually looking younger because you shaved the beard off.
Yeah, you do.
And I was like, this would be the perfect guest to have on to celebrate episode 200. And it was a great first interview, and glad to have you back on.
Yeah, I know it's going to be like 200. That's why I shaved. What's up, Mr. Tanto?
What's up, you sexy bitch, you? What are you doing? Oh, can you tell me your kid? Your kid? I'm sorry. Forgive me. Wash my mouth out with soap. It looks like you're doing the dad thing, brother. So, I haven't talked to you in a while.
Because you changed your phone numbers. Well, I don't know.
I got to go in the dark. The CIA NSA tracking me all the time, you know. It's just crazy. I gotta go dark, but you got it now. I just gave it to you again. I forget who I give it to. No, I don't, but you got it now. So
I gave to anybody's phone number before. I'm asking if it's possible to get somebody else's phone number or not. But
hey, Andre, the only thing I was gonna say, if you could flip the phone just like horizontal so we could see, because that better, man. So for the audience, I at least should tell them, because a lot of people did check out episode 1. They've been with us since episode 1. But for those who haven't, I mean, just a proper introduction. Andre Arlovsky, former UFC heavyweight champion, really legend in the game. And the crazy thing is that episode was nearly 4 years ago at this point. And the way we got to have you on studio was Chris's friendship with you, and you were fighting at MSG. And I was like, let's get him in studio if he's in New York City. And truthfully, man, I never would have thought that all these years later, you'd still be fighting guys and fighting guys significantly younger than you. I mean, how long do you intend to continue your career as a fighter? I know you have other passions with firearms and being a father, especially.
Maybe this year and one more year after that, but December, probably next year, I'll be done.
Are you lying? Because you said that. I think you said that when we were in New York, where you're like, one more year.
I would say, I would say probably like 2-3 years. Okay, like, yeah. I promise, soon.
Is that you? Is your wife in the car with you? Let me ask her, dude. No, Can I ask her?
Listen, come on. I'm grown up man, and I can't like decide on my own, okay? Come on. Don't, Mr. Dana, don't put me in the spot.
Well,
honestly, I like do what I'm doing, and she fully supports me. You know, like it's very important when you. Oops, I'm sorry. When you're in the battlefield, you know, when you fight and somebody support you, it's like very important. So My wife supports me 100%. My kids, like, yeah. That's why I decide maybe this year or next year, and I'm done for sure.
But how is that? Because your kids are getting older now. I'm sure they're understanding. No, they know what daddy does. They know he fights. They know he gets punched in the face sometimes too, and he bleeds sometimes. How is that with traumatic? How do you say, hey, this is just dad's job? I'm not out there street fighting. I'm not going to die out here. Because I'm sure it's hard to have them understand. I know my son and my sons would be hard to understand, at least initially, till you sat down and talked to him. How do you get them to the point where this is just daddy's job? Or do they not watch? Are they not allowed to watch your fights? I think they are.
They're not watching live for sure. They can see only in afterwards. But little one, he watched my not last fight before. He watched with a toy AK, and he was shooting to that guy who I'm fighting. And oldest one, he's a red belt in Taekwondo. Why Taekwondo? Oh, wow. Because no punches, no kicks in the head. But now we quit Taekwondo and we focus on baseball. Oldest one, baseball. Little one, for somehow, I don't know why, my manager forced me to put him in a football. So he's 5 years old and he's training football. I'm not sure if he's going to play football, but he's training right now for sure. And plus, for some reason in Florida now it's like I'm driving almost 6 o'clock, it's 96 degrees. For some reason it's like abnormal, but it is what it is. Yeah, God bless Florida.
Yeah,
why? Because we're because we're Republicans and we're good.
Hey, with your son, I saw him playing baseball, and he looks like just big kid that's just hammering the Little League ball. How are they doing this year? Did they go very far? Because the World Little League World Series is coming up, or it's going on right now. Did his teams do
He's watching, and actually next week it's going to be a season. It's going to be tournament before season starts. Yeah, we good. Everybody's in his team asking why your dad like screaming all the time. Because I'm on his ass all the time. Like I'm running around along the, fence. Against the fence, I run with him. Like, so I'm screaming, like, everybody think I'm like idiot, you know. But yeah, it is what it is. Why you that screaming? Because I'm like on his ass all the time.
Well, he started
in the beginning and in the middle of the season, he was a first place by his hitting. After that, I was like in the camp. I was preparing for the fight, and he finished the season in third place. Why? Because he was lazy, and I didn't scream. That's why. So, next season I'm gonna scream even more, and even louder.
I was gonna say, you know, I could tell there's some similarities between you and Chris, and I just wonder, you know, between the stuff that you're talking about now, the stuff that I see on social media, is your passion at all still in fighting? Because to me, it almost seems like your passion is completely transitioned to being the best dad that you can, to being a husband, Yeah. Like, do you still have that same passion that you did at 20 years old for getting in the cage?
100%, and I still enjoying what I'm doing. And of course, I want to be a good dad for my kids, because I was a lot, not like Tanto. He was like on his trips and overseas. But I'm like in camp. You know, when I'm in camp, I like see my kids only on Saturday and Sunday.
Wow.
Because I have to focus on my training. But yeah, I try to do my best. And actually, it's going to be last 2 years, I promise, because I have another third on the way. So, yeah.
What?
Oh, wow.
What? Are you kidding me?
Holy yeah, shit. November, end of November, December, we accepting, God willing, baby girl. So, yeah.
Is this sure. An exclusive for us? Did
we just
that
get
yet?
The
extended? Yes, yes, yes.
Wow,
yes,
wow, congrats.
Yes,
that's amazing.
Thank you.
Hey, you realize though, you know, like my son, you know, I'm 52. When he gets out of high school, he's gonna be able to whoop my ass. Your little guy, you're gonna be 80 by the time he gets out of high school, you old fucker. You know that, right?
You know what? His oldest one gonna turn 11 next Saturday. And he's already giving me some attitude, you know. He's like, I said, come on, guy. It's way too early. But yes.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Mike, why you unbuckle?
Oh, yeah. that's exclusive too. Don't worry. Hey, don't worry. We got exclusive.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was going to say that I know that you're passionate about, and I know Chris wanted to get into this with you, is firearms. I mean, is that the next career move? Because it would be a natural career move, I think, to be a spokesman for firearms and to be, you know, promoting gun ownership in America.
I would love to, but I used to work with Koenig. And we end up our like relationship, and actually I'm looking for some gun company, and if Mr. Tanto can hook me up with like, I don't know, any gun company, I would be greatly appreciated, but we'll see.
I
love firearms. I love firearms, and one day, I promise, not today, not tomorrow, not this month, but one day I wanna enjoy your
battle line courses.
I would love to love. I would love to come and shoot with you. Actually, I'm shooting like with your friend Dave Boone.
Yeah,
so in Florida. Yeah, so I have a lot of fun.
I want
to compete. I heard about, yes, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I heard about it's called like military games, right? When you have to run, shoot, etc. I want to try this one. So yes. Yes,
but I didn't know you were with Koenig. Can you talk about what happened with them, or were they? I've got on the wrong side of. I've had issues with companies, tactical companies too. Where they're all the same, brother. Apple or Daniel, it's the same shit. It's corporation. But I didn't know that. I thought you were still with Koenig. No, I had no idea.
No more Koenig, and actually, besides one person, great company, but I don't want to talk about and. It's like some personal issues. Yes, from my point, that person wasn't right. So, but it is what it is.
You always find that there's the bad apple or bad apples. I understand that, bro. So, okay, so if you're not shooting Koenig anymore, okay, we got to go down there. We got to talk about weapon. What's your favorite, dude? What are you doing?
Guys, I'm so sorry. For some reason, I lost you for a second.
Okay, do you hear us now? We hear you fine.
We got you.
Maybe he doesn't hear us. Do you hear us?
Yeah,
Andre?
He can't hear.
Okay. But it is, you know, whenever Andre reconnects, we'll get to it. But I was going to say, man, it is cool to hear about his passion for that and the fact that I think he actually probably would be a natural in tactical games because he is a natural competitor. I mean, this is what he's done all his life.
Yeah. And that's where...
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
No, all good, man. We were saying, you know, I think it's interesting pivot to make to do something like tactical games, you know, because you're naturally a competitive athlete.
Yeah, but when you're shooting and you're running, it's like different story, because when I attend the Boone's courses, that's hard, you know. That's about
that's I try to tell people. I have an endurance course coming up in a couple of weeks where if you can't run 2 miles and you can't carry a lot of weight, people don't realize that's the real thing. That is what pushes you, not just going and shooting. That is where, can you shoot when you're dizzy? Can you shoot when you're sweaty? Can you shoot when you're breathing hard? And it's not just even just running up and down the range a few times. It's going at it all day. So, those are probably outside of Chicago, where the tremendous people up there in Chicago, those are probably my least attended classes are the ones where there's a lot of endurance. Where I've, and it shouldn't be. Those honestly should be the most attended, because that's what you want to be able to attain, is that. And I don't know, it sounds like you're in agreement with it, man. And you've seen it with Boone, that you've got to get that heart rate up. And then can you hit when your heart rate's up? I don't know, go on that a little bit.
And guys, Tanto, guys like you, I take you my hat off. What you have to care, like vest, all the stuff, it's like, it's unreal. I'm telling you, and run, and like you guys don't look like muscular, like bodybuilders, whatever it is, but like CrossFit athletes. But what you care, how you're shooting, and I'm telling you, I'm lately, in the last probably 2-3 months, I watched probably 13 hours like few times with my sons, besides what I watched already 30 times, like, even more by my own. We watched that all this Lone Survivor, all the stuff, it's like, it's unreal. I have a lot of respect for you, and you understand, it's like, it's wow.
Well, I think just like with you and fighting, your body gets accustomed to whatever pain you have to do, because that's what you do for a living. I don't like to get punched in the face. I couldn't get punched in the face 8 million times. I couldn't. I'm like, dude, I'm done. You know, but throwing on a rock.
I'm sure
and
nobody's going to punch you in the face, because you can't.
Well, that's really what that's
you're a good shooter. So,
but you know, it's doing it in Boone. I'll tell you the same thing. Throwing on a rock or putting on body armor now is just it's natural.
Different story.
It's for something that if you do it a lot, your body comes accustomed to that uncomfortability. And to me, it's not uncomfortable anymore. And I'm not in as good a shape as I once was when I was at Range Battalion, but I guarantee I can still throw that body armor on. I just did it last week. I can throw a body and run up and down a range with a bad knee, with a knee that's been repaired because I ripped it in half. So
I like your post. Yeah, I follow you just in case.
But you know, those, and I'm glad you're saying, because to me, those are the courses people need to be coming to. I want you to come to an endurance course. I want you to come and run and we're just sweating all day, and I'm not going to let you die. That's what I want people to come to, is because that's the real thing. That is what's real. Not just room clearing because it looks cool. Yeah.
Bigfoot is dead on Tuesday.
Okay. I'm sorry, guys. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Did we get you drunk, police officer?
No, I think he's getting like drive-thru, right?
Oh, my oldest one, I pick him up from the Kuman.
Oh, yeah. Did he just grow? Dude, he just grew like 10 years. What happened?
This little one, Jeff, on the front row, on front seat.
I was like, holy shit, man. What happened? What do you feed these boys, man? They just like aged and got huge, got gained like 70 pounds in five minutes.
Remember, I'm from Belarus. I grew up by Chernobyl. So that's why probably.
Well said.
You know what I wanted to ask you, actually? I wanted to hear your take on this. Did you watch the Nate Diaz Paul boxing match last week?
No.
Okay, because I read about. I'm sorry. All I was going to say is, I mean, I watched it, and you know what? It made me realize, like, why UFC and MMA are the premier combat sport. Because when I watch a boxing match now, it's like it's watching checkers compared to chess. It doesn't really do as much for me.
People making money. They're making names over the like YouTube, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now, like, for me, as a professional athlete, professional fighter, watch this kind of. Nate Diaz is a tough fighter. Don't get me wrong. If it's gonna be a fight on the street with Jack Paul, it's no doubt about Nate gonna win. And I do have respect for him because he was hurt, I believe, like in 10th round, right? Or like 8 rounds. And he finished the fight. He did okay. Plus, he made a lot of money, and good for him. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Boxing, it's not like it's like it was in the past. When Mike Tyson, Oscar De La Hoya, when it was Johnny Tucker, you know, it was like everybody waited those fights like I don't know, like something like, wow. Now it's like common sense. I guess the next fight, big fight, is going to be Gypsy King against, Ngannou. So it's like, you know, people making money.
Dude, is that what you see the UFC going, where now it's they're just doing stuff for shock value more so than just started?
No, I don't think so, because Dana, he doesn't do this stuff. Yeah. So he focused on MMA. And Diaz, he's not with UFC anymore. He just he's his agent, and he's doing whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, I mean, and watching, I don't even know who it was who put on the fight. It's like watching a third rate. They're trying to do what the UFC is doing.
Yeah.
And it's really, I don't know, man. They had these like OnlyFans models in the ring as opposed to like the actual cage girls at UFC. It just seemed like it's like a third rate of what you guys are doing. And I watched it because I love Nate Diaz, but yeah, it is. I agree with Tonto. It is shock value, and it is cool to see that Dana White takes what he does seriously. Yeah. And I know the fact that like you're still in there, he's not going to have you there if you're not competing at the highest level.
First of all, Dana White, he's a great guy, and he's like what he did is UFC right now. When I started back in 2000, 22 years ago, and wow. Right now that's huge. That's huge, and he's like. All other companies, Bellator, PFL, what else, Bare Knuckle Fighting, they way far away from, they're not going to be rich UFC anytime soon. And I'm really happy that I'm going to end up my MMA career in the UFC. If somebody going to propose a good fight against Jake Paul or somebody else, I might take
You'll do it.
But MMA, I'm going to end up in UFC where I started. I'm going to finish in the UFC.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, it is. And you got another mouth to feed, and those boys look like they could probably eat as much as you, dude. So yeah, you need to keep putting groceries on the table best you can. Oh, yeah. Ben, hey, yeah. How are you? Because I've been, you know, I follow you. How are you staying? We're getting older. How are you staying a good shape? Because you're staying healthy, and that's not easy to do when we get in our 40s and 50s and. What are you doing every day, man? What are you working out when you're not training? Are you just resting?
I'm working out nonstop, and actually no alcohol. Few months already, no alcohol, diet, and my wife feed me like what she thinks is right. I mean, like a lot of green stuff, like vegetables. So, and it's kind of health, man. That's why I probably still alive. I mean, like I'm still competing in UFC because I take care of myself. And be honest with you, I cannot wait when I'm gonna be done with UFC and I'm gonna use some like some good vitamins, because with USADA it's almost impossible.
So are you saying that when you leave the UFC, because am I reading between the lines that, you know, at your age, you want to get on some type of hormone replacement therapy?
No, of course. I want to be huge. I mean, not that huge, but I want to have some like good looking body, you know, like muscles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But with USADA, I can't take any supplements what's not approved by USADA. I'm talking about steroids. Okay, I read and I heard some like rumors, because fighters, especially Brazilians, they're not happy about USADA because it comes to PFL. So this is going to change big time. Who's going to be champion right now? They might be not be champions really soon.
Because
USADA going to test all of them.
So are the Brazilians, are they taking stuff right now to compete? You can't, right? To compete?
No, and UFC absolutely not. In PFL, professional fighting league, some fighters were busted already. So, and I'm telling you, they're gonna come more and more. They're gonna test more and more people, and it's gonna be not funny. So it's gonna be interesting.
That is interesting. You know, what I wanted to ask you about that too, and like, and I appreciate you being candid about that, saying that you do want to hop on something when you're done fighting.
And I'm like, I'm going to make more fun of you about it, dude. You know that, right? I'm going to say you're going to get bitch tit. Your nuts are going to get smaller than what they are already, dude. You start taking that damn HGH, you better. I'm going to give you shit about it. It's going to come, dude. You know that, right?
I don't care.
But the reason I...
400 episodes, you can say whatever you want.
the reason I asked, though, and it actually may be good advice for our audience, because I think there's a big difference between someone in their 20s who is just getting into the gym, hopping on steroids, who hasn't really put their body through the potential that you have. And I think people would say, especially where you are in South Florida, I know there's so many clinics there that do it properly. They do it with doctors who are going to make sure that you minimize those side effects. So, I mean, would you say, like, for our audience, if there are guys in their 40s, 50s who want to continue working out, they're not feeling on top of their game, are you saying you would suggest they go that route?
I don't suggest anything, but I'm telling you, like, a lot of people asking me, are you taking something? I said, I can't take anything because USADA tested me. Actually, they tested me a couple of days ago. I don't know how many, like 55, 60 times already. So, no, I'm not going to, no. And plus, I try to be like a tough guy, like on your podcast, tell you I'm going to take something. But be honest with you, I'm really scared of it. All this stuff, especially how it's called growth hormone.
Yeah.
Because it can provide some cancer. So I'm really scared about this stuff.
By the way, I do love how Andre is like, I'm trying to be a tough guy on your podcast, and there's kids in the corner. Like, it doesn't seem very tough guy, although you are a tough guy.
Yeah, so. That's the humility. You always have had it, bro. And that's something I've admired. I think that's why we became friends, is because more than anything, it wasn't because you're Andre Arlovsky, even though I love it like a big teddy bear. You are. You're big. You're always so humble. And for those, I find people that are humble and quiet are usually the ones you don't want to fuck around. You don't want to mess. Yeah. But that says a lot of your character. So you're just a really good dude. And you still are with your kids in the car. You remind me of my son would be doing the same thing. I'd be getting in trouble right now with my wife. We're like, get your son off the kid. Nobody needs to know what he looks like. But
for you, it's a different story.
Nobody hopefully knows what they look like. I still haven't put them over out there.
With
the human growth hormone, and you got to be careful. People know that. I said I used to do it, and so in college I sold it, and I took anabolic steroids for a couple years. You know, not as much as some of the guys I played with did, but if you take it the wrong way, or you go, it'll screw you up. It'll get you cancer. It'll do a lot of things to you. Joints and things will get destroyed. So you have to be careful, and that's what you're gonna.
I'm really scared of it. So,
well, I also think. I mean, just as someone who follows this stuff,
you already throw a rock on me. Said, "Oh, when you're gonna beat you, keep going to the college." Thank you, Mr. Tanda. Thank you.
I was just gonna say, as someone who follows this stuff, like obviously I've never taken any of it, but I do understand it's a different world, because there's definitely a big difference between you, Chris, doing that in your 20s, as opposed to someone in their 40s or 50s. Like I said, South Florida is notorious because everybody's jacked. Everybody wants to be working out in South Florida. And they do go to clinics with doctors, with professionals, and they're able to do it responsibly. I don't rule out that when I'm 50 something, I may want to hop on it. But at this age, hell no, I obviously would not want to do that. And I think it would be detrimental. But it is funny, man. Have you guys seen Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's running for president? I mean, that guy's on something, because he's jacked. He's juiced to the gills.
Maybe a little bit it's okay, but when you're so obvious, you can look at courses there. Come on, that's too much. It's kind of like doesn't look right, at least to me. I don't know. I might be wrong, but
What 70-year-old looks like that? I mean, he looks like he's Mr. Olympia, and I believe RFK Jr. is like 70.
Dude, human growth hormone is one thing. Taking suspension testosterone and Anadrol and stacking it all is another thing, Mr. Kennedy. So and that's as they get older. And I think I'm in the minority with people that don't take that could be taking HGH or some form of it. And it doesn't, especially in the realm, in the gun world, in the law enforcement world, lot of those guys are all on that shit. They are. They're taking it left and right. And but you have to be responsible. And if you have a doctor that's doing it for you, the ones that are doing it have a doctor that prescribes it and does it for them. Shoot, you know, and I love your little boy. It's awesome. And so as long as you're doing it responsible, the reason I don't is because I did it. I've been through, and I had a linebacker buddy that went from 160 to 240 in a year. That's how much he was taking it. Now he has neck problems.
Good diet.
Oh man. Oh, he got huge. There's guys that played ball with that got huge. I was 198 when I was taking, my body weight's naturally 170. I was 198 benching 350 as in college and running a 4.54. Yeah. But also I ripped my hamstring. I tore my quad. So you just have to be careful with how you're doing it. And with your size, dude, I don't know, dude, you're huge regardless. Why, you don't need anything. No, extra I mean, like a huger. You're a monster.
Not huger. I mean, like more leaner. I guess I have to
leaner.
I have to quit eating steaks and eat more grass. But if you want to be a wolf, you can eat grass. So I don't know. It's like, you know, it's a.
I get you. Us Mexicans, I always say that we get the. You ever seen Nacho Libre? You seen the movie Nacho Libre? Right? Libre, yeah. When we're over 50, we start to get that Nacho Libre gut. And I even started to get it myself. And I had the same thing. I had to start eating more greens, less red meat, less junk. I'll have my sweet tea every once in a while, but I can't even drink a ton of that anymore because I was looking like Nacho Libre, man. Look like Danny Trejo. The Danny Trejo gut, man. That's how us Mexicans looks when we start to turn. So I get that, man. I get it. Getting staying lean.
Hey, I love it.
Hey, you're going and you're with the shooting. We haven't talked about your carry. I've never ever talked to you about it. Like, if you're not with Canic now, then what do you want to be with? What are you shooting? You've been shooting more. What's your favorite firearm right out there? A lot of our gun guys would like to know that.
Today I'm carry Glock.
Oh, that's
819, Glock 19 Gen 4. So it's like custom made, yes. And
I was saying that's a custom. That's custom though, isn't it?
Tomorrow probably gonna carry Sikh. Day after tomorrow probably, I don't know, like Beretta or whatever. Every day, like my wife changed purses. I'm changing guns.
Is your wife shoot too? Is she carry?
She has conceal, and we once in a while, yeah, we shoot them. But I'm shooting a lot with my oldest son, so he's okay too.
Well, I saw that you missed your flight somewhere, and instead you went to the range and went shooting with him. Yeah,
for some reason it's like first and I hope last time in my life I was so embarrassed I missed my flight. Every time when I flew to Abu Dhabi or Europe, it's like a nighttime flight.
Yeah.
And I saw 6:40 p.m. It was 6:40 a.m. Not 6:40. I said, oh, I'm so embarrassed. They didn't change my flight. And I, you know what? Okay, it's probably, I don't have to be there. And I went with my son. We went to hunting actually.
By the way, I was going to say, man, I really don't want to, I want to be respectful of your time because I could tell this is like dad time and you want to spend some time with your kids. And I completely get it. I mean, we're taping this on a Friday evening. And I definitely want to allow you to do what's most important for you. The last question I have, unless Chris has anything else, is like in terms of the younger fighters, who do you think is a force to look out for? What fighters do you think are going to have a bright future the way you had in the UFC in the coming years?
Obviously, what I'm really excited about, we're talking about anyweight, right? Not just heavyweight.
Anything that anyone that you think is going to be great.
Islam Makhachev, I like Volkanovski, I like Pantera. It's like Adesanya. It's like it's number of good fighters who's like who going to have a bright future.
Adesanya, Dustin, we already know. I mean, everybody knows he's going to. You know, yeah. He already is.
Actually, my son, he's a big oldest one. He's a big fan of Adesanya. He took a picture with him, and he was super nice to him, and he was super nice to me for some reason. But
Hey, well, your son. This question is for your oldest son. Is his gun? What's his favorite gun? What's he shooting at when he's at the range? What are you shooting, buddy? What's your favorite one? Because I saw you. Your dad post pictures of.
What's the custom one I have? That orange.
You have a Baby Desert Eagle. He has.
Oh, wow. It does. Are you shooting better than your dad, brother? Or
Actually, you know what? I don't know. Do you know Sean Sloan? He's a editor.
Yeah.
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 I went to shoot once to his place. It was right before my fight. Some people came to shoot me, shoot some videos about me. Yeah. And we start shooting, and he start calling him sniper. He like, I gave him my rifle. He like hit like every single play, nice. Steel play, and I lost him $60. He's kind of, yeah. Oh, yeah, now he called him sniper, Andrei Sniper Arlovsky, yes.
Andrei Sniper, that's actually a pretty cool ass name. I like that. Yeah, Sean's a good dude. Sean, that's cool. Yeah. Sean's top notch guy. Well, brother, I'm with Ian. I appreciate it. I get you with dad time. I got to go pick up my son from school. From my wife's coaching volleyball.
He's cool.
They're already at school. No, they're start. My wife coaches the volleyball team. My daughter plays on. So my young guy has to go hang out. And I know he's just bored out of his mind because he's having to sit there watching the girls play volleyball right now. So I got to go pick him up when we're done here. But I'm the same with Ian watching you. I really, the dad post, the view father showing, being an example. That's awesome, dude. And I really think that I see that. And I know Ian obviously seeing that. I think that's what more people we need to see. Not just they look at me, how cool I am. It's, hey, look how good of a father. And that's good. Look what we're doing. Not that you're bragging about being a father, which you should. We should all brag about being fathers because that's the greatest thing in the world. But you're like, hey, man, I missed my flight with my son. So what'd I do? We went and had father-son time at the range. That's cool. That's badass. So, dude, you're the man. And you're always welcome in Kansas to come shoot. And whenever you have a fight in Kansas
100%.
City.
100%. Of course. It's a hands down for sure. You got two tickets.
Thanks, my brother. I appreciate it. Cool, it's good seeing you. And you have my cell now, so feel free to give it out to anybody.
I hope so. You're not going to change tomorrow again because you gave me this one. So we'll see.
I thought I'd given it to you. I just like, holy shit, I haven't gotten it. Andre's going to kill me. I'm so sorry, dude.
No, I have a lot of respect. And thank you very much that like hanging out with you guys. It was a pleasure. And it's an honor for me to be on the first one and now 200 episodes. Like,
to do this 200 episodes is just awesome. And the fact that we got to do the first one with you and now 200 later, the respect is definitely mutual. Yes. At Andre Arlovsky on Instagram, Andrei Arlovski. The spelling and all that will be in the description, but Andrei Arlovsky on Instagram. And I've said it to you before, I love your area of South Florida. I love Boca Raton, Delray Beach, Boynton Beach. So if I'm ever there, I'm gonna hit you up, man. I think it'd be cool to do 100%. Another in studio at some point. So
you send me, that's your cell too, right?
Yes, that's my cell.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll definitely be out there again at some point. It's been a couple of years, but I love that area, man. It's a great area.
And if you're in Kansas, I have my own studio now. So when you're nowhere in Kansas, you will do it in studio one.
If you don't mind, if I'm going to be in Kansas, better I meet you at the range, not at the
The range is just down the road. That's the thing. Where I live, your neighborhood is probably bigger than the town I live in, brother. So it's just down the road, man. So, but I love you, man. And you be safe, okay? And you're doing awesome with the kids and. You're always welcome. Whenever you're in the Midwest, you just let me know.
Thank you guys so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Andre.
Appreciate it, man.
That's all for this episode of Battleline Podcast. But we're always posting new content on social media. Follow us on Instagram at Battleline Podcast and on Twitter at Battleline Pod. That's an order. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes up every Tuesday. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast platform of choice. Believe in yourself. Face all challenges head on. And as always, never quit.